And now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics with renowned Catholic author and apologist, Gary Matuta.
And welcome, everybody. Hands-On Apologetics. You have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo. And I'm Gary Matuta, your host and sensei for this hour. And we begin yet another excursion into the field of apologetics, explaining, defending, sharing the faith with confidence and clarity. And welcome, everybody, you know, to the program. It's great to be with you today. And we are going to have a kind of Hands-On Apologetics reunion, I guess. Some good friends of the show that's been on a few times, Teresa and Arthur Beam. Many of you remember they've been on a couple of shows where they're converts from Seventh-day Adventism, and which I find personally a very interesting group. You know, Carl Keating, I think, defined apologetics best when he said that apologetics is removing intellectual obstacles that impede someone from embracing the fullness of Christ and his church. And I think that's a great analogy because, you know, in apologetics, we try to use reason, logic, Bibles, history, all sorts of things to help clarify misunderstandings, myths, things that inhibit people from, you know, embracing the fullness of the faith. And some groups are a little bit easier to communicate with than others. And one group that I think is very difficult to get past some notions is Seventh-day Adventism. And so I love it when Teresa and Arthur can come on the show because they kind of give us a view from the other side. You know, they're both converts. Lately they've started a new project that's available on YouTube, and I want them to talk about it, really. But it's a series of videos that they're making called What Adventists Need to Know About Catholicism. I thought that is such a great idea because, you know, they know their perspective. They know the worldview. They know how Adventists look at Catholicism. They also know the obstacles. And so they're doing this video series to help build bridges, to clarify things, and to open the doors, you know, hopefully removing these obstacles so that people can look at Catholicism, you know, straight in the face, unblemished, the way it should be. And so they're coming up on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about that video series. I'm really excited about that. As always, you are part of the program. So if you want to give Teresa and Arthur a question or a comment or something, please give us a call at 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151. Love to hear from you. Also, you can send your emails at questions@handsonapologetics.com. And that is our dojo mailbox, questions@handsonapologetics.com. And I do respond to all the emails. And occasionally, sometimes even some make it questions, comments, suggestions, real life scenarios. Sometimes they make it on the air. So great stuff. And as always, well, before I forget, why don't we give our shout outs to those watching live stream on Facebook and YouTube. Hello, everybody. Great to see familiar names there on the chat room section of the dojo for YouTube. And also I want to welcome all of you listening on Catholic radio throughout the country and outside of the country. Thank you for tuning in. Let's jump to our critical thinking skills portion of the program, which is called the Finding the Fallacy. And every episode, we have a informal fallacy that we take a look at just to sharpen our critical thinking skills so that whenever somebody poses an argument that has one of these fallacious aspects to it, we know what to do with it. We can identify it, and we can, God willing, defuse it. And today's finding the fallacy is the slippery slope fallacy. Slippery slope basically proposes that an action or non-action will set into motion a series of cause and effects that will invariably end to an unwanted conclusion. And now, what's important here is that When we talk about this chain of causes and effects, what we mean is that a chain of very unlikely and haphazard effects would occur. And, you know, I can't remember it. Maybe somebody on at the chat room, maybe you know this, but there is was a TV commercial. I don't remember what for, but they would say if so-and-so's, they didn't have this product, which meant something happened, and then something even greater happened, and then it ended up with, you know, the destruction of the world, so whatever you do, you know, get this product. It's really funny, but it's a great example of the slippery slope fallacy. Do you guys remember that? No, you haven't said, okay, well, it must not have been a popular commercial, but they used to crack me up. But that was a great example of this informal fallacy. And I think it's one of those fallacies that often is abused, because you can argue that certain things will necessarily follow from certain actions. That's perfectly lawful. Oh, okay, yeah, it was an insurance company. Okay, I won't give the name of the insurance company, but okay, very good. Thank you. I knew the Dojo social media section would get it. Thank you so much. But it can be distorted, folks, and somebody could make a lawful argument for very reasonable conclusions that sound like a slippery slope, but really isn't. And a great example of this, there's a thing out on the web called Your Logical Fallacy Is, and they have a bunch of slides with different fallacies. And while looking up for the show, I noticed this, that they give it as an example as a slippery slope, something that actually wasn't a slippery slope. And it's Colin Powell, asserts that if you allow same-sex couples to marry, then the next thing you know, they'll be allowing people to marry their parents, their cars, and even monkeys. And they say, well, see, this is a slippery slope fallacy. But, you know, the thing is that it really wasn't. In fact, the stuff that he asserts actually happens. You know, there are people who are intending to marry their parents, and maybe not cars or monkeys, but we just had an article, four or five months ago, I think, someone in Japan who wants to marry a hologram. And the reason why it's not is because with the example of the same-sex so-called marriage, is that you defined exactly what marriage is, and then based on that definition, you could fit all these other things. So that is a natural result. If anybody wished to do it, they could. So, you know, beware the slippery slope. It is truly a fallacy if that chain of cause and effects are not realistic, or they're seen as like invariably one would lead to another. So you got to be careful. And that is our finding the fallacy for today, the slippery slope fallacy. And as always, we meet one of the early church fathers. So there's a whole panoply of wonderful early Christian writings from the 1st to the 7th or 8th century. That's called the early church fathers. They're very important for defending the faith. Why? Because they witnessed to the beliefs of the earliest Christians. So it's good for us to know these early church fathers. And today's early church father, wait for it, is St. Peter of Alexandria, who died around AD 311. So St. Peter of Alexandria, it's generally assumed that Peter, although he was an anti-Originist, was the head of the famed catechetical school in Alexandria just prior to becoming the Bishop of Alexandria around the year 300. Now, when we say anti-Originist, what do we mean? Well, it's referring to another Alexandrian father and former head of the catechetical school, Origen of Alexandria. And if you listen to this program, you've probably heard a lot about Origen. Origen was an incredible biblical scholar, theologian, although he did do some very tenuous speculations in theology and fell into error. For example, he believed that the soul preexisted before birth. He also posited that perhaps the damned would eventually be saved. And you know, his errors were there in his writings. It really didn't cause too much of a problem during his lifetime. But soon afterwards, people started espousing these teachings as authentic Christianity. And that started the Originist problem. And so Peter of Alexandria was an anti-Origenist. In other words, he fought for the Orthodox understanding of these things and the denial of such things as the preexistence of the soul and all these other things. So anyway, he was probably the head of the school in Alexandria before he was made bishop in 300. And after being bishop of Alexandria for about 11 years, he died a martyr's death. So he's also a martyr of the faith. Now, except for a very short letter to the clergy of Alexandria in reference to Miletius of Lycopolis, who had usurped the see of Alexandria while Peter withdrew from the city during a persecution, we really don't have a lot from Peter of Alexandria in terms of writing. Probably the most prominent of all, and this exists only in fragments, is his work on penance. And it's also, by the way, called the Canonical Letter, which was written roughly around 306. And as you can guess from the title, it basically talks about penance. Let's see. Only fragments of it has been preserved. We have 14 canons of it. And let me just read a little bit of an interesting portion of this work. Now, again, this is his work on penance, Peter of Alexandria. And he writes this. He says, "Peter, the chosen of the apostles, having been apprehended often and thrown into prison and treated with ignominy, at last was crucified in Rome." So you have the primacy of Peter, and you also have that Peter died in Rome. So that's our early church father for today, St. Peter of Alexandria. Coming up next, folks, we're going to be chatting with Teresa and Arthur Beam about their new video series, Seventh-day Adventism. Stay tuned.
This is Jesse Romero.
And I'm Terry Barber.
From the Terry and Jesse Show. And we invite you to listen to the Holy Hour of Power, High Energy Catholic Radio. We're two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. We're on Monday through Friday on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
What we're going to give you is masculine Catholic teachings on the faith. You know, we say we're too inspired to be tired, we're too protected to be dejected, and we're too renewed to be subdued. Why? Because we believe in Jesus Christ and His bride, the Church. And we will take each issue of the day and show you how the Catholic Church has the answer for our culture. What we really do is bring men back into the Catholic Church, which it's about time to do. We want men to be leaders in their Catholic faith so that they can bring their family to heaven.
Our program is not right versus left, it's right versus wrong. And our program is where Catholicism and culture intersect. It's High Energy Catholic Radio.
We're going to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His bride, the Church.
The Terry and Jesse Show on the Virgin Most Powerful app.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody, Hands-On Apologetics. And we're going to talk about Seventh-day Adventists and specifically how we can share our faith and explain the faith to people who belong to this group, and to help us work through that and also talk about their great new series of videos that they're putting out is Teresa and Arthur Beam. Teresa and Arthur Beam, you might be familiar with them. They were on the show a few times, and they are the authors of It's Okay Not to Be a Seventh-day Adventist and also The Kingdom, How God Led Us from Protestantism into the Catholic Truth. And Teresa and Arthur, welcome to the show.
Morning.
Yay,
hey,
yeah,
it's set. It's not the green screen from last time.
Yeah, it looks great. In fact, the videos look great too, that you were putting out as well.
Thank you.
Well, chances are we have people who haven't heard you before, so I thought maybe it's good to begin the program with maybe if each of you could explain basically your journey to the faith, and then we could take it from there.
Sure, go ahead.
You want
you
me to
go first? Yeah.
Well, I grew up Seventh-day Adventist in Dallas, which was a very cosmopolitan version of Adventism. You know, it was the cafeteria Adventism. And but my family was extremely involved in the church. We were in choir. We were in. We helped in what was called Sabbath school, which is the same thing as Sunday school. But so I was a teacher. I wrote for the Adventist church magazines and stuff. So I was very, very, very involved. And when I became pregnant in 1985, I found out the church was pro-choice. And I started the very first Seventh-day Adventist pro-life organization in 1985, determined with all my heart to get the church to change. And I was in that for 15 years and found out. And I mean, I was on part of the voting members of the committee that was going to help update the Seventh-day Adventist Church on its abortion guidelines. And there were two of us out of the 25 voting members, there were two of us that were pro-life. So I knew from the beginning we were not going to get pro-life abortion guidelines. But anyway, so I just, after about 20 years doing in that, involved in it, we just decided, you know, this was just too much. This church has a problem if it's going to be doing abortions in its hospitals and stuff like that. So anyway, it was the impetus that got me thinking about truth and looking. I looked through scripture, and I was talking to a lot of different people online, and but that was the thing that drew me to the Catholic Church to look into it, was their abortion stance, you know, their pro-life stance. So that was me.
Yeah.
And so me, I grew up a very Orthodox, if you will, Seventh-day Adventist on the West Coast up in Washington State. And from just my whole entire life was Seventh-day Adventism. My father was a teacher first, then a principal for years, then became an educational superintendent over three states, and also an ordained pastor. So from kindergarten through graduating from their universities, I was steeped in Seventh-day Adventism.
Right.
And books, everything you can imagine from Seventh-day Adventism. We kept all the laws or rules, if you will.
His family thought I was wild because we went out to eat to a restaurant on Sabbath, and I drank Dr. Pepper.
Right.
That's how Orthodox it was.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
For us, it was no theaters or movies, of course, no bowling alleys, no dancing, the classic.
No caffeine.
No caffeine.
No pepper, no mustard.
No meat.
No meat.
Right, right. There is a whole entire book that is done called Their Health Messages that we pretty much stuck to like glue. So my whole upbringing was an extremely Orthodox, by the book, Seventh-day Adventist way of seeing things and living. So yeah, it was, I wouldn't say 180 degrees difference, but it was way different than my wife's upbringing was in Seventh-day Adventism. But we have two very distinct views, not to mention both our families were very involved, extremely involved in the school, in the church. You know, they had what they called Pathfinders, which is kind of like a
Boy Scout,
Girl Scout kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You name it. We were in music groups that were Adventist and everything. So, yeah, we were very, very steeped in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for you, Arthur, what was the thing that got you thinking, well, maybe Catholicism might be true? I'm sure it wasn't that immediate jump, but.
Like I told you before, it was shocking. The most shocking, and I'm not exaggerating, the most shocking, scary thing to us was even to think about walking through the doors of a Catholic church. So when we went to RCIA, we were throwing it before the Lord. It's like we're kind of nervous.
When we left Adventism, we had a list of all the different churches we wanted to go to with not even the thought of ever joining any of them. We were just going to stay as free, you know, hippie Christians that were just going.
And on this list, Catholicism was tiny at the bottom.
I mean, literally, there were so many different denominations, we didn't even think we would get to the bottom. But when we were online with this Christian fellowship group online, and they kind of debated, the Catholics kept winning all the arguments through.
It just made us angry, to tell you the truth. Right. It's like, that can't be right. And we would look and be,
right. And so we had a guy that just said, why don't you just go try RCIA? Just to find out what if you don't believe what we're saying online, just go to RCIA and they're going to tell you what it is. So we just took the bait. Just were like,
he says,
fine.
It's just for information.
Yeah, it's just
information. That's all. So for me, honestly, the audible click for me was authority.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you say to authority? I mean, I've heard, you know, Marcus Grody and Scott Hahn, they run up into the same problem is when you're talking about authority, and that's a tough one, and I couldn't get by it, and it was a battle, you know.
Yeah, who has the authority to explain what Jesus means, not what the Bible says, but what did Jesus mean by what he said?
Right.
And it's the Catholic Church.
Right.
Yeah, well put. In fact, you know, it's interesting. I teach RCIA at our parish, and we just started, and a lady there said that, you know, oh, I'm getting hammered by my mother-in-law. And I asked, well, you know, what is she? And she said she's a Seventh-day Adventist. I thought, you got to tune in to Monday's show because that's right up your alley. And you know, that it's hard for Catholics to understand that Seventh-day Adventists have a very distinct worldview about how they view Catholicism and the rest of the world. Can maybe we have probably about 5 minutes or so. Can you clue us in on, you know, how do they view the Catholic Church? Why is it so difficult for Seventh-day Adventists to even investigate whether Catholicism could be true?
Well, I'll let her say that, but I want to say one thing, is that when my children were going to get married, one of the first things I told them is, you must understand each other's vocabulary. So if you're starting to have some big vicious fight, stop, put the brakes on, look at what is setting you off exactly. And it's usually some word they take completely different,
right.
And that has helped them out immensely. So this is what we are trying to do with our series of videos, is the understanding, the foundational understanding of words, how they're used in Catholicism. And
right.
So go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, well, so Ellen White started this church. She and her husband started this church in the 1850s. You know, it was a little after that. But she had visions from God that this is how they see the Bible. She's the church. She's the magisterium for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so she believes, she got a vision. I'm going to sneeze. Just a second. I'm sorry. Okay. So she had a vision where she saw the great controversy that showed the last days. And the Catholics are going to spearhead a Sunday law in which every single person on the face of the earth to solve some global crisis like climate change, or you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is really working. What's going on in the world right now is very much feeding into their prophecy that they believe in end times. Because the Pope is going to call for a global meeting in which everybody gets together, but they're going to decide the way they solve the problem is by every human being on earth to go to church on Sunday. And it's going to be
enforced, physically enforced law, right. They believe, throughout the whole globe.
And so they're going to be persecuted and hunted down, persecuted, and finally martyred for keeping the Sabbath, because that's their big thing, is that the last day test for all Christians is going to be whether the day that you go to church. They believe that there's only one day a week that is considered the day of worship, and they project that out onto everybody, like Sunday is their one day of worship per week. And they believe that if you are going to work, you're going to get the mark of the beast if you're going to church on Sunday, because you're supposed to be going on Saturday based on the Ten Commandments, and which is to them the fourth commandment, and to Catholics the third.
Yeah. So they believe that the Catholic Church is responsible for changing the day of worship from the Sabbath to Sunday, and therefore the Catholic Church is going to be this, you know, end time antichrist kind of figure that's going to force all true Christians who are worshiping on the Sabbath to switch days.
Right.
Correct.
You're right. And that's going to be the deciding line in the end, and everybody's going to get a chance to choose between the false worship and the true worship, which is the Sabbath. I mean, it's going to be a big deal. In the heavens, the Sabbath is going to be, there's going to be supposedly this great big huge Ten Commandments where everyone in the world can see. And there's going to be a halo around the Remember the Sabbath day.
Yeah, light, so, like you superimposed a flashlight or something
right.
over the Ten Commandments. And right there where it says the seventh day is the Sabbath, that's going to be highlighted.
Yeah, and so the
and we're not being frivolous.
This is what they actually believe.
That's legitimately
and then,
what they teach.
And so then if you don't believe that, then you'll be lost. And you'll go to final annihilation.
But it is all based... in the seventh day is the Sabbath commandment.
Right. Yeah, so that's the sine qua non of, you know, being a Christian is to Sabbath worship.
That's
and of
correct.
Course that explains why, you know, the Catholic Church would probably be the last place Seventh Day Adventists would look for, you know, big answers to the big questions. Well, I hear the music coming up. We are chatting with Arthur and Teresa Beam on Seventh-day Adventism, and we're also going to talk about their new video series. So stay tuned, everybody.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ, from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered, it's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
And welcome back, everybody. We're chatting with Arthur and Teresa Beam on Seventh-day Adventism. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about their ministry in a little bit. And right before the break, you gave us a great explanation as to, you know, one of several reasons why there really is a huge obstacle for Seventh-day Adventists to even want to know what Catholicism teaches, because ultimately it's kind of, you're dealing with the devil, aren't you?
Exactly. That's right. You hit it on the head.
Yeah.
In it, growing up, you were almost scared to even think about it, because why would you want to befriend anybody that was going to persecute you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
deception is a big deal to them. And even in one of the latest videos we watched of them, that was one of the things he said is
the televangelist.
Yes.
Doug Batchelor is the one.
Right.
What's he referring to?
Exactly. Yeah. Was, you know, it sends chills up his spine to think of these things. He actually,
the deception of the Pope.
And it just broke my heart. I'm like, oh my goodness, what can we do to help? I mean, we're not scary. It's not scary. It's full of hope and beauty. So yeah. That's what we're really working towards, trying to clear.
Yeah, I was looking at the chat room during the break, and I think the impression there is, they kind of laugh because it's like, you know, the church really should be trying to oblige Catholics to go to church on Sunday, you know, they have their obligation. The idea that there would be this forcible change to the Sabbath, to Catholic mind is just, quite frankly, it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, you know, I called, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it's the statistic, they're the Catholic statistics, and they said that between around 15 to 25% of American Catholics weekly go to church on Saturday. So, I mean, we're not against going, because that's what they believe. They think we don't go to church but once a week, and we would never go on Saturday because that's the correct day. And so they don't understand. We go, many, many Catholics go every day of the week.
Not to mention, Mass is offered on Saturday everywhere.
Yeah.
That's a norm. That's just something that we've done. And that's an interesting conversation to have with an Adventist is, well, yeah, we went to Mass on Saturday for, 2,000 years now?
Yeah, they don't know that.
And that's another thing they don't know. It kind of throws a wrench in things, but,
Seventh-day Adventists, there are huge differences in what we believe. I mean, let's just be honest, there's huge difference between Catholicism and Adventism. But it's not what Adventists think. See, they set up the straw man, and then they fight the straw man, and you want to go, wait, this is where, over here, this is where we disagree. Yeah. And they're not realizing, and that's what we would like to do with our video series, is to let them know, hey, here is where we disagree. You know, it's not that we don't believe that Sabbath is a good day to worship on. We do worship on Sabbath, but we just do not have that required rest. And that's the difference. You know, that's the actual difference that we have between us, is that we don't have a mandatory rest on
our
Sabbath.
View of Christ saying, I am your rest. We take that very seriously over our entire lives.
Right.
It's everything now. Our whole lives are everything.
We don't have just a rest of one day.
Right.
We have a spiritual rest of every day, of all the time.
Right. We love them, and that seems to throw them off a little bit, because we why would we go to the trouble that we're doing now for them? We love them. It's
right.
not we want them to have good information about Catholicism, what we actually believe, what is actually written, and then how Catholics actually understand and utilize those things.
Yeah.
You know, and what is interesting is, okay, Catholics have a banquet of truth. And it's almost like they gorge on truth all the time because it's right there. And they don't understand how deeply Protestants who are looking for truth are so starving and so hungry. And, you know, Arthur and I, we're so desperate for truth because let me tell you what, when you are brought up in falsehood, it makes you miserable. You do not know. You live in a constant cognitive dissonance. And you don't know, and you can't see reality carefully, or even clearly. You just, it's all very murky, and it doesn't make sense. And you just keep saying, "I'm gonna believe," even if it doesn't make any sense. And then when you find out the truth, you have no idea. And these priests do not realize. They think that it is, because the priest that we were brought in said, oh, you know, you can be a good Adventist. You don't need to become Catholic. Just be a good Adventist. Just be a good Baptist. And we wanted to just go shake him. We know you mean this to love us, but you're really not loving us because we need to know the truth. Every single human being deserves to hear the Catholic truth. They deserve to hear it because let me tell you what.
They're starving to death.
They're starving for the Eucharist. And until we find the love and courage in our hearts to lovingly tell these groups, you know what? This is Christ's church. You will find the sacraments will help you to get over sin. People are drowning in their sins. And so I think sometimes Catholics are so used to having everything. They don't realize.
They think it comes natural to everybody else's.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
No.
And it's in a way they almost look to Protestants because they have all Protestants have is the emotion. That's all they've got. They've got to whip up the emotion. They've got to whip up I guess that's all I mean. It's just the emotion because they don't have anything else. They don't have the sacraments. They don't have the truth. They don't know what Jesus means. It's just about Jesus and them individually. And so, you know, we could not just keep this to ourselves when we know the starvation.
We've been there. We know what it's like not to have any resources whatsoever.
Right.
So, like, if you look on Amazon now for her book, It's Okay Not to Be a Seventh Day Adventist, there used to be a few. Two or three, maybe a white lie, and just a few. Now there's a whole bunch
of resources.
Of resources for people. But I'll tell you,
it's true.
What I love, the one she wrote about, is it's about loving Adventists. It's not about hammering Adventists. It's that statement of it's okay not to be a Seventh-day Adventist means a lot to Adventists more than it does to anybody else looking in. That's a statement that, like, goes to the heart of a Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And, Teresa, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think what Catholics lack is courage, that we're so afraid that people will not push back on our message or that they'll think we're being judgmental or something by sharing, the great truths that we have in the church and that people are starving for. And, yeah, go ahead.
Well, the encouragement that I would give them is that when we were looking into Catholicism, it made us furious. We did not want what they were saying.
Yes.
I literally would download everything that the Catholics were saying to us on this online service, and I would sit with Arthur at night and throw a hissy fit. And I was so I mean, it infuriated me. I was like, this cannot be. It wasn't like we just went, oh, this is just wonderful. We'll become Catholic. We were absolutely furious. And let me tell you what, it takes a lot of humility and stick with it. But, you know, I was so thankful to Sister Catherine, who was one of the ladies that took me under her wing, and David Brocke, I think is his name.
He's a priest now.
He's becoming a priest. And he just basically said, okay, you need to see who God's authority is and quit talking about what is truth and go look for authority.
You know, one of the interesting things that David Brock said that really got us going is that he says, you have to look, who's the authority here? What authority are you looking at to solve these questions that you have about Catholicism? And that was huge. That got my mind going, what are you talking about authority?
Right.
I'm reading the Bible, I'm the authority. What are you talking about?
So look past the emotion. Because you know what? They're gonna bless you.
Yes.
I can't tell you how Chad Mackins and David Brock, I will bless them till the day I die, because they stuck with me even when I was throwing a southern girl hissy fit.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it takes courage, it takes tenacity, it takes faith for Catholics to step out of their comfort zone and just say, no, this is what we believe. You know, I don't know where you're getting this information. So was after you came into the church, was Sunbeam Productions, was that the logical next step, or was it book writing? How did your production company kind of come about?
Well, after she wrote It's Okay Not to Be Seventh-day Adventist, that really, I guess, was the beginning of it. Because
we had a very large Christian publisher come and ask me to publish the It's Okay Not to Be Seventh-day Adventist. They wanted a different name, and they wanted to go ahead and put it in the cult, their cult section. And I said, my audience are Seventh-day Adventists. And they would be so insulted. You know what I mean?
They wanted to turn it into more of a hit piece.
Right.
Look how bad they are. And she would not change for that.
Yeah, and they promised me over 40,000 sales. And I just said, I would rather have no sales because that's not who my audience is. You know, my audience are those people. You know, I will never forget the person that's even stimulated me wanting to write it was there was a man who had asked me to take his child to Sabbath school and church when I was Seventh-day Adventist. And he said, because of Ellen White's writings, I'm going to hell, which is fine. He says, I'm going to go to hell, and I'm okay with that. I just want my son to go to hell. But he couldn't move on past being Adventist. He would never step foot in the Adventist church because he said he liked beer. He was addicted to beer. And he said, Seventh-day Adventists don't drink. And he says, I'm not going to be a bad Seventh-day Adventist.
Wow. Well, we're chatting with Arthur and Teresa Beam about Seventh-day Adventism and their video series on what Seventh-day Adventists need to know about the Catholic Church. Stay tuned.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment. You know, and I just wanted to thank you guys, and I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest, I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old. 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love it.
Out there.
Hi, this is Eddie Chavez, host of Jesus 911. I want to take this opportunity to let you, our listeners, know about an event being held here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina. We will be celebrating the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel on September 28, 2019, beginning at 9 o'clock with Mass in the morning and talks to follow. Ruben Nava and myself will be speaking, so come and hear us talk about St. Michael and Our Lady. Come join us, and we'll see you there.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody. Hands-On Apologetics. We're chatting with Arthur and Teresa Beam about Seventh-day Adventism. And last time I had you two on the show, you kind of teased that you're doing this video series, and I said you definitely have to come back on to let us know once it gets underway. And I've watched the first couple of videos, and it is fantastic because, like you said, most of the material out there, it's, you know, how to destroy Seventh-day Adventist arguments, you know, exposés on white and things like that. But what they really need to know is the truth in an unthreatening, sympathetic way. But, you know, you also are very skilled at explaining the faith in terms that they would understand. And that is pure gold in my book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, the interesting thing is Adventists in some areas have more in common with Catholics than they do with, like, say, Calvinists. And one of the most precious things about Adventists that it can be considered precious, depending on who it was told to, but these kids are told, Adventist kids are born with the idea, and they're brought up with the idea that they're going to have to give their life. I mean, they're going to be martyred in the last day for truth, which they believe to be the Sabbath
the
truth.
Sabbath, yeah.
And so these people are preconditioned to search for truth and want to give their life for it. So what a great thing to have them become Catholic. You know, they would just really make fantastic Catholics.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing I really enjoy about this series is it's YouTube. First, both of you have great on-camera presence. Those who are watching live stream on Facebook and YouTube know that. But if you watch the video, I mean, you're so natural in front of the camera. It's kind of like around the coffee table. And you're just it's almost like you're a neighbor who just came into the Beams residence and having a friendly chat. It's a great conversation piece.
I'm telling you, you have no idea how much I love you, because
right.
We listen to you and what you have said from the very beginning, your debates and stuff. I mean, right. Oh my word. I've listened to you, and I mean, so we felt we love you.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. We're like family, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah. I can tell you that that's exactly the feel we were hoping came across. Because, I mean, we love – I mean, my whole family mostly is Seventh-day Adventist. Now, my children aren't. They're Catholic. But my brother, my sisters, my father, and – they're all Seventh-day Adventist. Her family's all Seventh-day Adventist. We have a lot of friends that are Seventh-day Adventist. So this has nothing to do with trying to deface Seventh-day Adventism. This has to do with having Seventh-day Adventists understand Catholicism and going away from listening to us with good, proper understanding of how we think and how
we
live.
And we want them to know we love them.
Absolutely. That's the number one thing. Why we do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So how do you structure the videos? You have an introduction, and I saw part one. How do you decide what to talk about and in what order?
Well, what we've done is we've got to start with the worldview. I think that's the most important thing, is that words and everything, they go, they're just very different. And so what we're trying to bring in is the Catholic worldview on things like God first, because we did one on the Trinity. You know, Seventh-day Adventists are having a resurgence because when they first were, when they first became a church, they were Arian. They were not, at least semi-Arian. They did not believe in the Trinity. And it's been like 1980 that they officially became Trinitarians. Well, there's a bunch of people rising up and going, wait a minute, that's, we got to go back to our roots. Right. And so right now that, and how we got to explain to them, because they believe Catholics brought the Trinity in, which, you know, is actually true. So we're explaining to them why Catholics believe that the nature of God is Trinitarian, the nature of man and his immortal soul, the nature of the fall of man.
And let me tell you, that this is more difficult than you would think.
Yeah.
Because how do you explain God? I mean
yeah.
it sounds simple until you start breaking it down into its individual. How do you explain the Trinity?
Yeah.
And you really have to do a lot of digging into the Fathers and the Bible into,
right.
Wow, it's...
Yeah, it's difficult enough explaining it to Catholics and to explain it and then translate it into language that another group can understand. That's doubly difficult.
Yes. Well, we're building to the big one they're waiting for, and that's the explanation of the Sabbath. But you've got to understand all of this is the foundation. The Sabbath is not going to make any sense to them until they understand the authority of the church, the kingdom of God, which is started, Jesus started on earth, and he's, you know, it's the seeds of the kingdom now. And there's just so many things that they, like the immortal soul. You know, Adventists believe that a child becomes, it gets the breath of God, becomes a human being, or what is it, upon birth. When God breathes, you know, into Adam, he breathes into the child. And so a child can be aborted before they're born without getting rid of anything. You know what I'm saying? It's just a pump of tissue, basically. But if you believe in the immortal soul upon conception, then you fight for those babies. And so these things make huge differences in how we look at life and how we deal with, you know, the problems of life. And so these are the things that we want to explain to them. And
Yeah. And it's a challenge, but it's lovely. It's wonderful. It's teaching us new things. And we feel like, you know, we come excited to tell them. It's like, look, here it is. Here's, you know. We always try to give more than one proof. So we'll give the Bible, we'll give the Fathers, we will give
the catechism,
and it's just wonderful. It's a great education.
For us, too.
For us.
We've got our nose in the catechism all the time.
That's great. Yeah, that's Mike's experience, too. I'm always learning. You know, the more I dig in, the more I learn. Have you heard any feedback from people on the series?
We have a few comments, and they've been nice, basically. So, I mean, I guess nothing really big.
What we have found before, especially with It's Okay Not to Be a Seventh-day Adventist, the way your ratings, star ratings go, it's either a 5 or a 0. There's nothing in between.
Yeah.
And to me, that tells you nailed it. Because when you don't have ambiguity, that means you're hitting an important topic that's worth reading, and some people are going to bristle to that. But hopefully these are different. These are – hopefully they're full of love. That's what we're trying to come across is we love you. We just want to sit down and reason together like the Bible tells us to. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to reason together, not just argue and throw rocks.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I didn't really expect you to get a lot of feedback because I would anticipate that there's a lot of lurkers who wouldn't want anybody to know that they're watching your program, but they want to watch it. Is that kind of your expectation too?
That's exactly what we're expecting. One of our little cartoons at the beginning, we have two different ones. We have the regular series, and then we're starting one that's called Catholic Conversations. And I made up a little stupid cartoon at the beginning where this cartoon guy comes out from underneath his bed and watches us on the computer screen that's right there. So, yeah, that's what we're expecting.
Yeah, it's great. Go ahead, Arthur.
So we're just very excited. We're coming up to talking about the Sabbath, but what we're trying to do is not miss any particular. There are certain things that are, I don't want to call them trigger words for Seventh-day Adventists, but they're constantly looking for. Oh, they're that's wrong. Oh, there, that's wrong. And we're trying to explain those as we go, so we don't miss a particular thing, to bring them to, okay, now let us explain the Sabbath to you the way Catholics see Saturday.
And that's why your video series is so important, because there's these verbal landmines that people have been inculcated at, that when you hear this term, it means this really bad thing or this really good thing. And you know the minefield, so you know where to direct the conversation, where not to.
One of the biggest things that we hear all the time is that when Adventists discuss with Catholics the Sabbath, they'll say, "See, you changed it." Well, to them, that means that Constantine unilaterally changed what all Christians were keeping the Sabbath up until Constantine. And so the Constantine came in and forced the church to go against what it really wanted to do and change the Sabbath to Sunday. So that's what they're thinking when they say, "You changed the Sabbath." And then when a Catholic responds, they go, "Yeah, we did." But they're saying, Jesus told the apostles that the new day is the eighth day, the first day of creation, is going to replace the Sabbath. And it's going to be a holy day, even though it's not so much directly from the third and fourth commandment, which depending on who you are, it's the day of the Lord's day. And so there's so much problems. Every time a Catholic doesn't know what they're doing, they will reinforce what Adventists believe about Catholics. And so it's been really, really hard, because when a priest tells them, "Yeah, we changed the Sabbath," they don't know what that means. And the priest is being honest, but he doesn't know what he's saying to us. Right. He's reinforcing.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Because he doesn't know the language, the like I said, those verbal landmines that will trigger wrong understandings. So I can't believe our time's already over. How can people get a hold of that series?
Well, we're on YouTube. We're just Teresa and Arthur Beam. You could both look up, I think it's just Teresa and Arthur Beam, because the name of it is the Sunbeam, you know, it's Sunbeam Productions, but I think it's under our names. I would think just YouTube, it would be pretty easy to find on YouTube.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you
very much. We really appreciate you asking us.
Oh, you're welcome. And you'll be back on again, I'm sure, in the future.
Excellent. God bless you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's Arthur and Teresa Beam, ladies and gentlemen. You have your marching orders. If you know Seventh-day Adventists, maybe you have Seventh-day Adventists in your family. Maybe there's neighbors. Maybe there's people you know that know Seventh-day Adventists. Get them to YouTube. Tell them about the Teresa and Arthur Beams, B-E-E-M, and check out the series, because, like I said, it's not confrontational, but it speaks their language, and it can open a lot of doors. So check it out, folks. Go to YouTube. That's your marching orders from the dojo today. Ah, boy, it's already time to shut down the Midwest Command Center and turn off the dojo lights. I hope everybody enjoyed the program. I know I did. And coming up next, High Impact Catholic Talk with the Terry and Dusty Show. And I wish everybody a wonderful, blessed day, and God willing, we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
In the 1990s, I lived and worked in Hollywood. But when my wife Betty's mom took ill, we relocated to Orange County. And it was during this time in our lives that I converted to Catholicism. Once my eyes were opened to the truth, I couldn't learn enough about the faith. But I had less free time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. Since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life. I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.